Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Hi there. So glad you've joined us. We're going to have our devotion first. It's called Birds Have Nests, and it's taken from Windows on God's World by James A. Tucker. Our verse is Luke 9:58, and Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. While some nests may be little more than a hollow on the ground, usually there are many things that enter into building of a properly constructed and correctly placed bird's nest. The location must be carefully selected to assure safety from predators as well as storm and rain. Then the nest must be so well constructed that it will withstand the weather for several weeks or even months while the young are being reared. One of the most beautiful and well-constructed nests is made by the Baltimore Oriole, called the Northern Oriole by some, using almost invisible strands of plant silk from a milkweed plant as well as other fibers. These birds weave a hanging basket-shaped nest high in the overhanging boughs of the largest trees. It does such a thorough job that it takes a whole day just to weave the handle. After about 12 days, all except the bottom of the basket is complete. This is finished from the inside so that when completed, it is a perfect hammock built to fit the female's body. There are parrots in Africa that cut leaves into specific shapes, each species cutting its own characteristic shape, some small and round, others long and straight. After they are cut, they are tucked into the parrot's feathers and transported to the tree hollows that will serve as the nests. One species carries its leaf pieces only under the feathers on its lower back, sometimes transporting them as many as 7 leaves at a time in this manner. There are, of course, as many different kinds of nests as there are different kinds of birds. Each species has its own special nest. The Creator must have enjoyed teaching the birds to construct their nests. But I think while Jesus the Creator made sure that the birds would have their nests, He Himself, who made the world, couldn't even call a humble bedroom His own. How much He gave up for us. You know, when you think about that, you think about Him sleeping just out in the wild, you know, with under a tree or... It's amazing how humble the King of the universe was in order to save us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for the opportunity to worship You. I just pray for each family. I pray for each individual. You know all of our trials and struggles, and ask that You be with our nation and just give us wisdom in everything. Lord, we need You so badly. Thank You for hearing our prayers. All this I pray in Thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! This is our experiential learning section. We call it our arts and crafts. And I have put quite a few things on my Pinterest site for Forest Classroom and things like that. And one of them has building bird nests. But I'm thinking if you have more than one child, or if you would like to do this in a homeschool co-op, how cool it would be to challenge them to build a little bird nest, build it in a tree, and then see which team's bird nest would last the longest. Because these nests are really hardy things. I know how excited we are when we find a nest. Usually find them in the fall because the leaves leave and you can see where the nest was. And I think it would be a lot of fun. There's all kinds of arts and crafts and videos about bird nests. I couldn't resist putting a paper plate bird nest craft. It was so cute because you use little pom-poms and squiggly eyes. And when you put the paper plate down into the little paper plate nest, you can't see them. And then when you pull them out, all the little birds stick their little heads out. So be sure and go to my Pinterest site. That's Pinterest at MRGamblin2. And I put a video there of a Baltimore Oriole actually making her nest, plus this little craft. So have fun learning. Curriculum Corner. Remember, curriculum is the path that you're choosing for your child. Curriculum products are what you might do in that to accomplish what you want your children to accomplish. Learning experiences, all of that encompasses the word curriculum. And we have been talking in our Curriculum Corner about the homeschooling styles to see where you fit. It really does help give credibility to what you are doing when you recognize that, hey, it's a recognized homeschooling style. And today we're going to talk about performing creative. Performing creative gravitates to the Waldorf approach. Now, this approach, just let me clarify, is head, heart, and hand. So you are really trying to educate your whole child, thinking about, you know, their head learning, and but you want it to be in their heart. You want them to love learning, and you also want them to have hands-on things. It utilizes lap books. It avoids technology. It probably prioritizes art, crafts, music, and drama. And your children will be well-versed in folklore, history, and traditions of many cultures. Those are the things that kind of clump into the style called performing creative. And maybe that's you. Here's a question about a 14-year-old. See, what's happened in this situation is that his best friend now has a girlfriend. And I wish everyone would agree that 14 is way too young. The drama is way too much. And just discourage it. But when you are in a smaller group with maybe homeschoolers, they don't always think that way. Though I wish every homeschool co-op would make a policy to really discourage their children from coupling up. After all, God says he hates partiality. And there will come a time when then God's word says, cleave on to your wife. But 14 years of age is way too young. And in this situation, his best friend has a girlfriend, and now they ignore him. So he doesn't have any friends. It really is hard for a parent to watch. What should a parent do? Well, you need to expand the social exposure for your child. Maybe find a different co-op. I don't know. It's hard in small towns. But 14 years old, you can always introduce him to Homeschool Companion virtual high school classroom. We have some online friends he can make. It's always hard, though. It really is. And I might add that you can try talking to the other mother. Just don't let your son know that you're talking to the other mother and saying, you know, this is how it's coming across. It seems rather hurtful. Sometimes that helps and sometimes it doesn't. It's always a tricky area to handle. The next question comes from Becky, and she says, my 5-year-old. Well, he's not 5 quite yet, but he's going to be 5. He's still not potty trained at all. He refuses. He will cry if she takes off his diaper. He'll hold it for hours because he doesn't want to go. And this poor mommy has one also in diapers and then has another one on the way. So my heart goes out to you. You know, everyone trains at a different age, and 5 is not all that old. There are a lot of 5-year-olds that are still not trained. In fact, they will come to my Christian Learning Center with diapers, and we do pretty good there. We actually try to train them. Then they'll be trained there, but they still won't be trained at home, so we haven't quite figured that one out. We don't know how to transfer what they learned in their little preschool to home. So my heart goes out with you. Be patient and don't press it. Don't press the issue. They will not start school wearing diapers. Just Just relax, Mom. We often have too much expectations for the oldest child, and when others, younger ones there, they just want to still be Mama's baby too, and that's one way they can be Mama's baby. So have courage. Well, we're coming to the end of the first half of our show. I hope you will stay for the second half as we interview Daniel Kennedy from Oasis of Hope. Great, great material, and should give everyone truly hope just as you listen to it. And remember, you can contact me anytime, rgamblin@homeschoolcompanion.org. Real simple email, rgamblin@homeschoolcompanion.org. We'll be right back.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Daniel Kennedy. And we are talking about, we first talked yesterday, if you didn't get a chance to hear the show, Oasis of Hope, we were talking about the facility, Latrille, is that I had heard about that many years ago, but now I know who developed that as a cancer-fighting natural substance. And he also wrote a book, and it looks like you co-authored it with your uncle.
That's right.
Francisco Contreras.
Perfect.
Contreras, MD, and then Daniel, MC.
Master of Counseling.
Master of Counseling. He's also the CEO of Oasis of Hope. And so he wrote this book called The Art and Science of Undermining Cancer. What motivated you to write the book?
Really, my motivation was far too many people are unaware that there's more than one way to treat cancer. You don't have to just accept chemotherapy or radiation. And why I called it The Art and Science of Undermining Cancer is the conventional approach to treating cancer is like a direct attack all out on the cancer. And then there's all this collateral damage, all the side effects. Mm-hmm. Our approach is very different. What we do is we analyze the metabolic traits of cancer cells. So the metabolism of a cancer cell is dramatically different than a healthy cell. And we then identify the weakness of the metabolism of cancer cells, and we do these little tiny therapies to weaken it. So imagine that we're kind of carving out underneath it its foundation until it crumbles. So we undermine cancer by leveraging cancer's metabolism against itself.
You know, it's been 50 years since President Nixon declared war on cancer. And I know if I ask the question, is this a war that can be won? Well, obviously it has exploded. We talked about that last time, that it's now 1 in 2 people can be diagnosed with cancer. So this book, The Art of Science of Undermining Cancer, who should it be read by?
It really should be read by everybody.
It should be.
Because 1 out of every 2 people are going to get cancer at some time in their lifetime, which means your family is not likely to not have to deal with this. Mm-hmm. I want to actually give this book away for free. We'll send you a PDF so you can educate yourself, whether you have cancer or not. Get educated and learn. There are many things that you could do. You don't just have to take the standard therapy. You
so
have to go beyond.
How can they get this PDF of the book?
If you'd go onto our website, oasisofhope.com, there's a place to click to ask for the book. And if you have a loved one or yourself who has cancer, you can actually get your medical case reviewed by our doctor, and we'll send you out a treatment plan that explains what we can do to help, what we can't do to help, but our program. And that's free of charge. So visit us at oasisofhope.com, or you can call us at 888, so toll-free number, 888-500-HOPE.
I need to write that down.
Yeah, 888-500-HOPE.
I can tell you from personal experience that when your loved one is diagnosed with cancer and given 3 months to live, it shatters the family. Not only does it shatter the family, but if you're in the midst of ministry, it really detracts from that. This is a scourge that Satan is using to keep us from doing what God would have us to do. So I think, you know, this message of hope, oasis of hope, hope is so important. 888-500-HOPE. There is hope. Okay, now you mentioned nutrition. Is that the most important thing? I mean, we should change our nutrition now and prevent it. Prevent cancer.
It's nutrition and it's lifestyle. So there's actually a study published by Harvard that gives you five lifestyle habits that if you do those, you diminish your risk of cancer and all chronic degenerative diseases. And in this study, they followed 120,000 people over 30 years.
Wow.
And the people that did these five habits lived 14 years longer disease-free than people that didn't. And they're really simple. Eat healthy.
So that'd be nutrition.
Maintain an ideal body weight.
That's hard.
That's a struggle.
Now you're going to preaching.
Then get your physical activity. That one's easy.
Exercise.
You just have to walk at a brisk pace for about 20 to 30 minutes a day.
Okay.
The next one, don't smoke.
No smoking.
And actually, most of the cancer research, because I've traveled the world to interview cancer researchers.
Yes.
And they almost all start with don't smoke. That's the number one.
Yes.
The Harvard study published in this order. And the next one is don't drink alcohol. And if you do, keep it to one drink maximum per day. And I like to acknowledge, even though I don't drink at all, I really like to acknowledge that today, the modern day Christian tends to drink. Everybody's like in love with their wine.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to be a Christian and you're not going to hell because you're drinking wine. Keep it to one glass, please.
Yeah.
Because if you overdo it, it's related to an increase in the probability of getting cancer. Mm-hmm. So if you're not abstaining from alcohol for religious reasons, how about for your physical reasons?
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I'm a teetotaler too. And of course, I've never smoked, but I do have struggle with the weight. And then exercise 20 to 30 minutes a day. That's important to do. And nutrition probably is another big factor with all the fast foods and, you know, grab a...
Nutrition, I would put up there in number one, because you're making a decision of how to feed your body three times a day plus snacks.
Yes.
So actually by the fork, you know, or by the spoon,
yes,
you're either helping to build your body or you're harming your body by the spoonful. And so it's so important. Now, nutrition is so important because God put like a pharmacy in the,
yes,
Garden of Eden, because all of the foods were meant not only to give us energy, but to repair our bodies. And if you think about it, when God created Adam and Eve, there was no program in the DNA that included death or sickness.
Mm-hmm.
And people just kind of go over that point.
Yeah, that's
so how were they going to live forever? It wasn't by eating from the tree of life. It was by eating from all of the trees, because the body was created to renew itself, mm-hmm, Cells have a life cycle, mm-hmm, and at the end, they're replaced by new cells. And if you have perfect nutrition, then your replacement cell is perfect. The reason why we age and eventually die is because we don't have the right nutrition. And so our replacement cells are not as good as the one they're replacing.
Yes.
It's deteriorating, and that results in aging and dying. But Adam and Eve, they were already going to be eternal beings. But they listened to Satan,
mm-hmm,
and they missed out on that. And it opened the doors to sickness and to death, ultimately. So get back to the garden. And we do that at Oasis of Hope. We have rooftop gardens. So we grow our own food. We grow it chemical-free. We grow the right foods that are healing. And then that's what we serve to our patients.
And so is it a vegetarian or a vegan diet?
It's very close to vegan. But we do serve a small portion of fish once a week. And some of the fish oil can help, but that's pretty limited. if you think about it. Mm-hmm. And people might say, well, you know, should you eat any fish at all? And I'm like, well, Jesus did, but he kept it pretty limited.
Yes.
You know, so
he made sure it was mercury free.
They didn't have to deal with that yeah. back in those days, right?
Right.
So, yeah. So we're really careful and selective.
What
about
that. Eggs and depending cheese and milk?
We don't do any dairy products at all. Eggs, sometime by prescription. If a person just needs that temporarily, then it will be prescribed.
That's amazing. What a wonderful legacy. So your family's history with cancer, is that what motivated? I mean, it sounds like you had your mother and your father were, I mean, your mother, you said, built the hospital. Your father was the medical doctor.
So those were my grandparents.
Oh, those were your grandparents.
Those were my grandparents. So on my mother's side, it's the Contreras who built Oasis of Hope. On my father's side, the Kennedy side, we're a family of pastors. So on my mother's side, there's really no cancer. On my dad's side, there's tons of cancer.
Wow.
Starting with my grandmother, who died from ovarian cancer. She had three children. My uncle died of pancreatic cancer. My dad had three cancers, but he ultimately died from his heart going out. And then my aunt died of stage four melanoma. And so now that we, the children, then the next generation, we're five, the eldest, my cousin David, has already had cancer. The other four of us have not. And so I decided also to change my lifestyle for my future generations.
Yes.
I now have a 10-month-old grandson.
Aww.
And my daughter, influenced by what she saw, not what she heard from me. She didn't want me to preach with words. She watched how I was cooking.
Mm-hmm.
She actually makes all of his food, and she makes him organic purees of kale and broccoli and things like that. He loves strawberries. So it's wonderful to see that we've changed
yeah.
our eating habits. And my little baby grandson is a vegan so far. And he's like, oh, well, you know, he's going to be undersized. Right? He's a chunky kid. He's big. He's strong, climbing up the side of the playpen at 10 months. And so, no, you can be extremely strong when you're avoiding lots of heavy meats and dairy and things like that, and eating a lot more of the fruits and beans and, you know, nuts,
yes.
all of those things. The way God made it, that's the best food.
Hallelujah. The Hallelujah diet.
Oh, we love the Hallelujah diet.
Yes.
We love the Malkmus family. We're close with them
okay.
over the years. Yeah, very good. Lots of our patients will have already started the Hallelujah diet before they come, and then
praise God,
they're able to continue.
Well, we have to end. I hope you get to hear both of these interviews that we did yesterday and today's. Thank you so much, Daniel Kennedy. Remember, you can go to 888-500-HOPE and get the free PDF of the book. We also hope that you just go to oasisofhope.com if you need help. They are there to help you. And I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.